Back in the day when we heard this music by Aaron Copland, we knew it meant one thing, meat. In the 1990s, it was what's for dinner, according to the Beef Council. Last February, the federal government revised its guidelines about what we should eat, and they said we should eat less meat. And in fairness to meat, they also suggested that we should eat less sugar. On Monday, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is part of the World Health Organization, published a report that seems to have upped the ante a bit. Red meat has been declared a probable carcinogen. The verdict on processed meat, according to the study, is even more severe. When it comes to bacon and beef jerky, they drop the qualifier probable, and they say that it is a carcinogen. So what does this mean? Whenever we have a question of this kind, we turn to our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle, who blogs about nutrition at Nutrition Over Easy, and who hosts a podcast at quickanddirtytips.com. Hey, Monica, good to see you.
Good morning, Tom.
So what is this report saying?
Well, exactly as you said, they have designated these two categories of foods in two slightly different classifications, the processed meat, and that's things like bacon, ham, cured meats that have been treated to extend their shelf life and often to turn them pink. They are now in this category as a carcinogen. And then the fresh red meats, that would be your beef, pork, veal, are labeled as probable carcinogens. You know, this got so much attention when this came out on Monday, but it's not really anything new. This is not a new study. There are no new data. It's just another analysis of data that we've had and that have been analyzed before.
This is one of those metadata analyses. So in other words, they weren't conducting their own experiments. They were sort of compiling the results of experiments that had been conducted by many, many researchers around the world.
Exactly. And that's been done many times before. This also wasn't unexpected. This was pretty much what we expected them to say. It's not surprising when you understand what the Agency for Research on Cancer does. This was not a statement of your risk from eating these foods. This was a hazard assessment. And there's a
what's the difference in risk and hazard? That's interesting.
Huge difference. So a sharp knife is a hazard. It's a cutting hazard. And whether it's sheathed in a knife block in your drawer or it's in the dishwasher sticking with the knife blade sticking up where you can grab it by mistake or balanced on the edge of your counter, it's the same hazard. But the risk of being cut is very different depending on those different scenarios. So what IARC is doing is they are trying to identify hazards. And they've identified a lot of them. They have reviewed over 940-some agents. They're not all food. Some of them are chemicals. Some of them are lifestyle habits, like how much sleep you get, to see if they could be hazards for cancer. And of those 942, only one was found to be not carcinogenic. So it is really important. What they are saying here has nothing to do with your risk of getting cancer from eating red meat or processed meat. It just says that there's something in those foods that under the right circumstances could promote cancer.
And it's a matter of degree. I mean, they talk about the fact that there is sufficient evidence, what the report says, in human beings for the carcinogenicity of the consumption of processed meat, sufficient evidence. And then with red meat, which is regular red meat, not processed red meat, they say there's limited evidence for human beings and carcinogenicity.
Right. That's an important distinction because I think a lot of people understood that to mean that processed meat is way more dangerous. Mm-hmm. What it really means is they're more confident in the evidence.
Yeah.
They feel more secure in reaching that conclusion. It says nothing about the relative dangers between those two foods. In this particular case, the evidence that we do have that separates them out, because a lot of the studies that they're using for evaluate, they just lump it all together. They don't distinguish between fresh meat and processed meat. It's just one big category that includes everything from pork tenderloin to pepperoni.
Yeah.
But in those studies where they looked at them separately, there does seem to be a slightly higher risk from processed meat than from fresh red meat, but it's really not that big a difference. It's like the difference between an 18% risk increase in risk and a 19% increase in risk. Mm-hmm. But let's put these risk numbers in perspective for people.
Yeah.
So your risk of—
It doesn't seem like that much of a difference.
It's
1%. I mean, I don't know.
Right. The difference between red and processed meat is not that big. The difference in this classification, again, has to do with their confidence in the evidence, not the magnitude of the risk. But to put this in perspective, your lifetime risk of colon cancer is about 5%. So 1 in 20 people will get colon cancer over the course of their lives. Among the heaviest consumers of red and processed meat, that risk goes up to about 6%, or 1 in 18. So that also is not a huge risk. It is a 20% increase, but when you shrink it down to its to the absolute risk, you know, we're still talking about a 5 or 6% risk of colon cancer. And the other thing that I think it's important to underline here is that what I said, the heaviest consumers.
Right.
The people that we're seeing this increase in risk, these are people who are eating red and processed meat one or more times a day.
Yeah.
And their risk is increased relative to the people that eat the least red meat. But that group that eats the least includes not only people who never eat red meat, but it also includes people who are eating red or processed meat once a week or less.
Yeah.
They're no increased risk.
And of course, it does come down to frequency and portion yes. size, too. Yes. And we've talked about this before. I mean, when it comes to fast food, for example, there are about 18 million people, about 6% of Americans, eat fast food 7 times a week or more, you know, and these are the people that McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's are going after. I mean, the ads on television are aimed at those people.
Oh, Tom, I'm sure they're having the salad.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Don't we all? You know, I used to read Playboy for the articles, too. But, you
now you have no choice.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And I'll sit there with my beef burger at Burger King and read these fascinating articles. But frequency does matter. I mean,
there is a dose response here, meaning that your risk goes up the more you eat. And really, all of the comparisons are between, as I said, the people that are really eating, you know, several pounds of this stuff a week compared to people who are eating it. And there's one other way that you can reduce your risk, actually erase your risk. Interestingly, even in those people who are eating red and processed meat once a day, that increased risk disappears in those who are also eating a lot of vegetables.
So it counterbalances.
Yes. So people who are eating a lot of red meat but are also eating a lot of vegetables, they're in the same risk category as people who are eating little to no red meat. Yeah. So there is some good news, but you know, I'm not saying that we should be eating more red meat. I think there are a lot of good reasons, some of which have nothing to do with nutrition,
right,
to limit the amount of red meat that we eat, and also just to make sure that we're getting our protein from a variety of sources. If you're eating a lot of red meat, if you're eating it every day, then chances are probably pretty good that you're not eating fish very often. And we know that eating fish a couple of times a week.
So you're losing the opportunity to get yes. the nutrients you could get from fish were you to eat it once or twice.
Right. Yeah. So the impact of what you're eating also has to do with what you're not eating because you're eating that instead. So I think there's a lot to be said for getting our protein from a variety of sources, including fish or poultry, including vegetable sources of protein. Mm-hmm. Red meat once a week or even a hot dog once a week is not taking your life into your hands.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, we even talk about how people define red meat. We had a conversation about this.
Yes.
You know, there are people, the pork industry, which is included in this study, they call it red meat. But the pork people would say we're the other white meat. So, you know,
there's right.
all that marketing
that.
Stuff. Yeah,
right.
They didn't buy that. All right. Well, Monica Reinagle, always great to see you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Monica Reinagle is the nutrition diva. Come to our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. We'll give you a link to more information on the new meat study, and we'll also have links to Monica's blog, Nutrition Over Easy, and her weekly podcasts at quickanddirtytips.com. That's it for us today. Hope you can join us Friday. We'll have a status update on the Baltimore mayor's race with Taylor Stewart from Leadership for Educational Equity and Fern Shen from the Baltimore Brew. We will do our best to identify at least 3 people who are not running for mayor. That's going to be tough. We'll also learn about an historic African-American radio station in Annapolis, and we'll hear some music from the new CD by Ensemble Galilei. That's Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.